Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it's your boys at the 1973 podcast. We just got done watching Saturday night's main event. All of us, some of us, we'll get to that. But before we get to that, one of our favorite segments to start the show, it's one watch. Everybody knows the rules. Ed, it was your pick this week. Lead us in.
Well, hey there, podcast fans. Are you ready to show off your love for the 1973 podcast? We've got over 20 different designs of t-shirts and hoodies that capture the essence of classic stuff. Whether you're a fan of the show or just love that retro feel, we've got something for everyone. From the bold prints to subtle notes to your favorite personalities, each piece is made with top-notch quality and timeless style that you crave. Perfect for lounging at home or making a statement out and about. Don't wait, because our collection is flying off the shelves faster than you can say, "Don't be cheap, buy a shirt." Visit us now at bonfire.com and grab your favorites before they're gone. And then you can check us out on YouTube on the link. Check out below. All right. So, Youngblood.
Ed, your pick. You start.
My pick. It was very tough to see it. So guess what I did? I watched it on freaking YouTube this morning. All
By
right.
clip.
Yeah, pretty much. That's exactly how I did it. It was, do I think that it aged as well as it could have? No. Is it a little corny in certain things? Of course. Was it quotable? Yeah. I mean, there's certain things in there, like the scene that, with the Jacques strap on, and in the old scene, and then having tea. I forgot about the having tea, I forgot about that, and I forgot that he went back to the farm and he learned how to fight. And I thought it was, it's an entertaining movie. There's quite a few people in there, like Keanu Reeves. That's like he actually played goalie when he was in high school. And then let's see, there's Patrick Swayze, obviously there's Rob Lowe. I just thought it was an entertaining movie. Is it a good quality hockey movie? Absolutely. Is it quite like The Godfather that Slapshot is? No, it is not. Okay, so it is not going to be rated that high. So I'm going to give it a 7.5.
Ed, could you this week take the tally for us because the professor is not with us?
That's going to require me to get up with a
All
pen.
right, I'll do it
I
freehand.
got you. I got you. Let me get
All
my
right, check.
calculator out.
Okay,
No,
so
I got it.
your
I have my.
score was, Ed?
I got a 7.5. I got it. I got my calculator right here.
Okay.
I
All
have to
right.
be being a, I was being a smart ass. That's all. All right. So
There's not
7.5.
enough room for more than one smart ass, Ed.
Well, I mean, that must mean that everybody's putting their full ass into it, being smart asses there.
Phantom, what do you got for Youngblood? It's a VHS classic.
I definitely own that one, and read multiple VHS, DVD. But no, I'm a big fan. It's I agree with Ed. It's not quite Slapshot, but it's good. I think it gives you a good insight to junior hockey rather than minor league hockey, and then the comeuppance, which goes with it, with the hazing, and it, not as bad as it could get for re in real life, but I think they depict it pretty well. I like Hal Rackey. I thought he played. He's a big part of the movie. He's pretty good as Rob Lowe finds his toughness as he comes along. I always got a kick out of like how he was trying to bang the coach's daughter and not trying, succeeding. But overall, solid. I'll go 8.2.
Whoa.
8.2 from the Phantom. Could be right on spot on. Shaggy, what do you
Oh,
got?
8.2. But yeah, I mean, it was a great movie from what I remember. It's been so long since I could find the goddamn thing. First time I ever found out where Thunder Bay was in Canada. So that's pretty interesting to learn. Yeah, I can't go that. I'm gonna go like 7.2. I gotta go with that. It was a great movie, but yeah, definitely not one of the classics I'll be watching 20 times in a year.
So Shaggy, you're saying that you're not using that as your security code?
No, that one, no, Youngblood was never my security code.
Okay.
Allegedly. So, before we get to Brad to wrap it up, I'll take this one. All right. This is another movie that I love to review. Got the Hamilton Mustangs jersey out. The Dean Youngblood had to break it out of the closet. Typical 80s movie. Now, here's a movie I was telling Shaggy before we came on, they could not make right now. These guys are supposedly underage. They are being billeted by a lady that's taken advantage of them on a rotation, even though it's for giggles in that effect.
For tea.
That's
For tea. Come on.
the
They're having
quote.
tea, man. Come on now.
Hazing that went on at that time was at another level, but it was all part of being with the boys, as they say. And welcoming you into a different kind of culture, a different kind of team. Like Phantom said, it's a junior hockey perspective from the early 80s. There's an opening scene where they're doing the credits, and it's supposedly Rob Lowe skating on the ice. It's the late, great Peter Zezel that did all those tricks in the beginning, which he has a small part in the movie. And if you look and you do a deep dive on this movie, there's a bunch of NHL guys that are in it that were extras in the movie. Great goalie masks in this movie. Cool ending to it with the shootout. Not a shootout, penalty shot. Overall, it's a VHS classic. Started at the old Cinema 140 back in the day with the old man. Back when hockey was king, he loved it. I also love this movie too. So much like the Phantom, I'm giving it an 8.2.
Oh.
Yep. Just for the love of the game, for the love of the game. Bradford, you're closing us out because it's your pick this week. No professor. Have at it.
Only thing to say this movie was Patrick Swayze, dog. I'm a huge Swayze fan, so throwing this movie at me is a that's a low blow. It's a cheap shot. All right, that was a cheap shot because I can't rate any Swayze movie. Whoa, I just can't. The dude was a living legend. This movie was typical 80s, typical Swayze. You know, you got the pretty boy hockey player. You have the, you know, Swayze's kind of like the bully enforcer. You know, and then he gets hurt or whatever, and then the girlfriend's like, it could have been you or something like that. And you know, and then it cuts to like the music plays, and then that he Rob Lowe disappears to, you know, a barn to, you know, do the slow-mo 80s montage training scene, which was typical of 80s flicks and typical of Swayze movies, man. So, it's Keanu Reeves' first movie. So, I think Ed or somebody said that. So, anyway, you got Keanu, you got Swayze, you got Rob Lowe, typical 80s montage, you know, type film. Just because of who it is being Swayze and all, I gotta give it an 8. It's because Swayze movies are just fun to watch, man. Like they're fun to watch. I can't not get into a Patrick Swayze movie, man. Like he died too soon, first of all, and like his movies were all Roadhouse is easily in my top
Roadhouse.
10. I fucking love Roadhouse. So.
Now, do you want to give it an 8-1 because they show Rob Lowe's can in that movie?
No, I'll stick with an 8.
Okay. Just saying. Just saying. I want to give you a chance.
Although Rob Lowe in his prime was a gorgeous man. Like, holy shit.
He still is an old man.
Like, yeah, holy shit, Rob Lowe. Like, what are you doing? What am
Age.
I doing wrong?
He just took all the cocaine and all the hookers that he had back in those days.
Yeah,
Oh,
man.
you
Not to
know, the
be.
problem, Brad, is you don't play hockey. That's
No, I
why.
don't play hockey. Yeah, that's clearly what it
Now,
is.
what do you rate higher? Rob Lowe's ass or Keanu Reeves' French accent?
Keanu Reeves' French accent. Terrible.
That man is an animal.
Wow.
Yeah. Ed, we need a, without the professor, give me Ed Math. Let's go.
The professor came in at 7.2.
Oh, yep. Wait a minute, Ed. I'm glad that the Phantom saved us. You're going to add a 7.2, the professor's score, before you give
Oh,
us
okay.
your final.
You
Thank
guys gotta
God for
give
the
it up.
little
Yeah, give me your
score.
scores
It's on the
again.
East
So I got
Germany.
7.5 and then
Yep.
8.2,
Yep.
8.2.
Yep.
Brad,
An
8.1,
eight.
Brad? 8. 8. Yeah,
You're
don't
the
get
one.
carried away.
Yeah, sorry, hold on. 7.5, 7.2,
Oh boy.
8.2.
No.
Yep.
How many more? I already had it figured out until you threw it back to me. That's why.
Okay. Yep.
I
Two
cleared
eight.
it. I cleared everybody's score off. That's fine. I didn't
Okay.
write it
Go
down.
ahead.
So I got 7.5, 7.2, 8.2.
And another 8.2. And an
All
eight.
right. Yeah, I was a solid 8.
And the final tally is, drum roll, please.
That's not right. I was like,
There's two
that's not right.
7.2s. There's two 7.2s.
Thomas, save us.
I knew I
Yeah.
should have did this.
Ed, while we're talking about the wrestling, you can do the math.
Divide by six, divide by six.
I did, and it gave me a number that's not right.
Look at
What's the
Brad's
number?
face.
What's the number?
We need
It was
the number.
7.82. It was 7.82.
Okay.
10.8.
7.8.
That's
I love it.
respectable.
Okay, yes. Yeah, that's around the cusp of being ownership quality of getting this movie.
Yeah,
It,
cheesy
it.
80s flick, 7.8.
7.8. That's good. That's a good score. What do you think? Solid for that movie?
Yeah, because when I hit the wrong key, it gave me 3.92.
That's what Brad
That's
really
why I
wanted
was
to read
telling you. I
it.
was like, it gave me the wrong number. I hit the wrong key, and it gave me something completely different. I was
If you
like,
were to
that
put
math is not
Paul
mathing.
Newman in for Patrick Swayze, it might have been th 3.9 for Brad.
Yeah, I wouldn't have watched it. I only watched that movie because it was a Swayze flick, and I'd never seen it.
Hey,
And Brad, where did you find it? YouTube.
relax. See, this is the good thing about this. I had never seen Scrooged,
Yeah.
so it was your pick. Speaking of that, before we move on, what's your pick for next week? God damn it!
Man, this is a film right up your alley. You homers are gonna love it because it was filmed in your backyard.
Oh no.
This was a film in high school, my buddy came over and was like, "You gotta watch this. It's not a porno." I was like, "What?" After we watched it, I was like, "Holy shit, my whole life changed. It changed the whole trajectory of my life." Boondock Saints.
Great movie, great
Oh,
movie.
right.
Great
Fucking
flick.
love this movie. It easily a top 10 film of all time. The sequel sucked. Don't ever fucking watch it.
Well, most
Boondock
sequels
Saints,
suck,
man.
Brad.
It's
Hey.
quotable, so I know I'm gonna get a high score from you guys.
Totally agree. This is one of those movies that when Tarantino broke in and started doing all that noir genre of stuff. Grindhouse type. It's spot on. So we'll save that for homework for the week, Boondock Saints. So we just got done watching some Saturday night's main event. Bradford, what'd you think? We'll start with the first match. Rhea Ripley and Nia Jax. Botch fest. Super botch fest. Not a fan. What'd you think?
The whole program seemed like a super botch fest. Like I want to love it, dude. I'm wearing a Saturday Night hat, WCW throwback. I wanted to love it. I wanted to love the premiere when they did it the first time, but they threw in a couple of just regular matches, a bunch of title championship matches. But so the true WWE or the true wrestling fan knows they're not about to exchange titles on a Saturday night main event. Like, that's not happening. So I'm like, why did we book three title matches on this program? And the Jey Uso Gunther match was really good. And as soon as the crowd starts chanting, "This is awesome, this is awesome," Gunther finishes it super flat with a double powerbomb. It was super lame, super whack. The best match of the night easily was Jacob Fatu and Braun Strowman. I mean, he gigged himself, his blood everywhere. And Fatu was like, "You know what? You're bleeding. You're really messed up. You could be hurt." They stayed in kayfabe, they stayed in character. And Fatu's like, "You know what? I'm just gonna Samoan somersault you three or four times." And it was awesome. That part of the show. And then when he's leaving, the crowd was chanting for Jacob Fatu, not for Braun Strowman. Like,
See
he's
that?
so over. It was
And
incredible.
that's where they got to be careful, because then you lose when they if they switch him babyface, it never has the same feel anymore. It's like when that's the problem I have. One of the problems I have with the Vince run WWE is when the fans control the narrative instead of them driving the narrative. That's the problem I have when they,
Right.
you know, it loses something. They never know how to really do it really well. Phantom, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you guys. It was, I mean, I think I thought it was better than Brad. I found like all the matches to be, at least they were physical matches.
Yeah.
They were like Braun and Sheamus. Those fucking guys were going at it. Yeah. Sheamus is not like a top guy, but I tell you what, every time he wrestles those fucking matches, they're bringing it. When he gave him that spear off the from the corner there, I'm like, holy shit, that's good stuff. I like the super kick from HBK getting involved. To just too bad the cowboy hat got knocked off and you got to see the old man head, but I was like,
Bro,
I think he was like, fuck, man, my fucking hat.
where's my hat?
So yeah, I'm sure he laid it in there pretty good, but you were talking about heels, Andy, and Owens just has it down
So down, bro.
from copying the t-shirts, the Terry Funk t-shirt. It's pretty good. So overall, I thought it was a decent show. I usually like Rhea Ripley as far as like the women matches go, but what's her name's a loaf, so you only can do so much with her. And what was the one other match?
It was there was only four matches, and then they had the signing for the Rumble.
Yeah. Oh, the title match. I don't think anybody thought that Jey Uso was actually going to win the belt. So
No, but
not heading towards
bro, he
WrestleMania.
hit like all of his finishers back to back to back to back, and then Gunther
That's
gets
the
up
pull you
like
win, and
double
I think
power
that
bomb.
finish was, "Hey, dude, we got 10 minutes before this thing goes off the air, so let's get
Yeah.
cracking here."
Yeah. I think it's a good setup for things to come with Jey Uso and Gunther, though. I think that match just kind of solidified Jey's maybe being able to carry the belt because Gunther's run, who was super dominant as the IC champ, been kind of lame as the heavyweight champ. So I don't know. They got to mix it up.
Jey's run here kind of reminds me of Daniel Bryan back in the
Yeah.
day. He was like so over, and they wouldn't put the belt on him. And hey, whether you think that Jey Uso is like just a tag team guy or what,
No.
if you follow what the fans say, I don't think anybody's more over than him. And you don't want to waste him while he's at his peak. If you're gonna give it to him now, because if he starts almost like the Sami Zayn thing. I don't think
Yeah.
Sami Zayn's really like a good world champion. But when he first got out of the bloodline like last year, if they ever were going to put it on him, that was the time to do it because he was like super, super over.
So I noticed that Ed and Shaggy are texting each other during this. This is great.
Yeah,
He just 1 minute left in the period.
I draw the comp. See, I'm different than you guys. I don't see the one of those guys as heavyweight champions, even if they're over. It Gunther is he's a throwback, so you got to look at him as a throwback. But I know for a fact when he slapped that first chop on Jey Uso, he wasn't expecting that, because Jey Uso's punches, ah shit, those things look awful. They look like they wouldn't even get him a domestic violence charge. That's how big those punches are. The thing with Jey Uso, he's like a modern day Jimmy Valiant. He's wicked over with the fans, but he'll never be a world heavyweight champion. Sami Zayn is like my modern day Tito Santana. Good enough to be a heavy intercontinental champion, but he ain't snipping that heavyweight title. Just how it is. And like I said before, and I'll draw Red into this too. The wrestling should mimic the UFC. They should take it serious. You shouldn't be going in the ring with a guy that's a killer like Gunther, a throwback like a Bruno Sammartino or a Dick the Bruiser or a Crusher like that with jewelry on. You never see somebody go in a UFC match with jewelry on. It give it a serious presentation, and more people will take it serious. That's the problem with it. The stuff has to look like it's two grown men having a fight. If it doesn't, then it's weak. I know you're trying to protect the other guy. There's ways to do that because they used to do it. And those guys wrestled every night. These guys are wrestling once or twice a week. So lay that shit in and more people will watch it. Agree?
I think the thing too with Gunther is he's a heel, but he don't do heel shit. He kind of
Right.
always wins clean, so you can't really get behind hating him like that.
Right.
Like they need to put him in. Uso would be probably somebody pretty decent, but he should have did some shit to him to like all the fans are like cheat to win. Like get this guy some heat because after a while he's gonna get stale and they'll take the belt off him and then where does he go from there? Now, if you once you get out of that world title picture, then you just kind of fall into the mid card and that's when the guy starts disappearing.
Dude, after a while he gets stale. Gunther, sorry to say this, Andy, he's already stale. Like old school heads like him because he slap chops the shit out of everybody. It's like a rite of passage. Hey, you want to be the IC champ, Sami Zayn? I'm gonna slap the shit out of you 100 times before you put that belt on. So if Jay wants to be the heavyweight champ, he's gotta get the shit slapped out of him 100 times before he can wear that belt. And that's how they initiate these guys to the next level. Old school heads love Gunther. Like you said, he's an old school bruiser. Like you said, man, he's got to start doing heel shit because as clean as he wrestles, he's boring. He's boring. And people want to see Jey Uso who comes in through the crowd. He's got his flowers on, his chains. He's yeeting all over the place. He's yeeting
Sell
in everybody's
merch.
face. And I mean, it's fun to watch, man. Like, granted, he's got to hit 5 or 6 or 8 or 9, 10 finishers to close out a match. You know, one super kick's not enough. He has to hit him with a spear, then a super spear, and then a somersault and a Samoan splash and a couple more super kicks, and still only gets a 2 count. But man,
Oh.
but he's fun to watch, dude. The new school kids, we love Jey Uso.
You're not
It's
a
new
Ed's
school
checking in.
kid
Ed's
stuff.
checking in. Ed, we're tagging you in. Hot tag.
Hot tag, right on the nutsack.
See, this right here with what you guys are talking about is why I have a hard time getting into today's wrestling. Because here's the thing. The finisher is not the finisher, right? If a super kick is the guy's finishing move, it's supposed to end it. It's just like when the Undertaker used to do the tombstone. That was it. Right? Arms crossed over, right? Macho Man used to do the flying off that elbow off the top rope. That was it, right? Like square, Flair with the figure four after he kicked out of everything and everything like that for the
The
first
Hogan
finish.
leg drop, Ed.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I can't forget that now.
Boo.
No, that's fine. I never was big into Hogan back in the day anyway. That was one thing that I can tell you right now. When Andy and I first started talking, he kind of asked me, what do you think about Hogan? I kind of looked at him like, really? That was in 7th grade. I looked at him like, really?
Hey.
You're really gonna go there, huh?
I like me some
Good
Hulk Hogan.
friendship after that.
Listen, it hasn't changed for the better. The look of, I like the look of Saturday night's main event, that it looks like an old school throwback. They even bring down the microphones from the ceiling like an MSG. That's a really cool take on it. A lot of the stuff that they're trying to do, they would never do if Vince was still involved. So it's very cool that they're really trying, but you got to re-educate the fans and make the finishers mean something. If they don't, then there's no rhyme or reason to it. It should matter. It should matter what you kick out of and what you don't, and who kicks out of what and who doesn't. They did something in the NWA, and what was cool about it was the pile driver was outlawed. And the way they did it was like, even though you didn't see all the TVs from all the different territories, it was known that the pile driver was outlawed. So it was like if somebody did it, like after, like they would grab a guy after a match and the match is already finished and they pile drive him, and then the fans would be oohing and aahing and like they saw somebody get shot because it meant something. You have to like kind of re-educate the fans with what you're trying to present. And if you're presenting nothing means anything and these guys aren't serious athletes, then nobody's going to take it serious. So that's my diatribe on the wrestling. I could
I think in the I think in the old days too, that they didn't have the false finishes like now. But back then, our bitch was nobody would win the match. Like, so if it was two top guys, it would end up being a double DQ, count out, disqualifications. Now they kind of, now there's no disqualifications because they take the referees out of wrestling. It's like, it's not like you were saying, they don't make it like it's a real sporting event. The referee just stands off on the side and counts. Like, there's no, the realism of the referee kind of is gone. So now to finish somebody off, you got two top guys. They don't want them losing off just one move. But back in the day, you didn't give nobody your finisher because if you did, the match was over. So you would never get any conclusions to any of the matches. So now to be like, well, he got pinned, but he took the finisher five times to finish him off to try to add something to it, which actually takes away from the product in the end.
It does. It does. The when we're talking about the 32 million people that watched that Saturday night's main event that time, I was thinking to myself when we were talking about that one of my that was my favorite moment on Saturday night's main event, the two referees thing, because I didn't even know that the Hebners were twin brothers, and it blew my mind at the time, especially that they took the belt off of Hogan on a Saturday night's main event, which they held up for the WrestleMania anyways with the tournament. But the other one that I always remember is the one with Orndorff and Hogan getting out of the cage with the 2 feet on the floor at the same time on opposite end. You know how they must have, how good they timed that? The two of them, they must have counted to three and dropped at the same time. And they got it like so close that they had to like slow it down. Unbelievable. And they did that same finish, remember, with Shawn
Batista
Michaels that
Cena
one?
flipping over the top in Royal Rumble, hitting the floor at the same time, accidentally, which made me look crazy.
So yeah, that so overall it's nice, but we'll get on that Royal Rumble next week and see what we get out of it. The ladder match should be pretty good. I would imagine that would be something to see. Maybe when they get those two belts back together, they'll come up with a new belt, like a modern version of the two intertwined. That'd be cool. So we don't have the professor, and we're getting into the sports talk. So what we're gonna do this week is take Tom's shitty picks and change it to Ed's mediocre picks. We'll talk sports from here on. In this particular segment. So, Ed, I know you're not going to do any fantasy picks, but I know you guys love the foosball. And tomorrow, there's how many teams left? Four, right? If I got it right,
Four
you know.
left.
So, we're recording late on a Saturday night so that these fine gentlemen can place their bets and get rich. Not XRP rich, but they'll get rich. Ed, let's. I'll give you the floor for your football talk. So take it away, Edward.
I'm going to have to say is just that since this was totally unannounced, so I'm completely unprepared, but I'll just speak off the cuff. You know what I mean? So, anywho, hopefully that the Buffalo Bills versus the Kansas City referees, hopefully that's a good game, and I hope that the best team actually wins, and I hope that the referees keep their flags in their pocket and just let everybody play and everybody and for you know. For the Brads of the world that say that Brady, got the same type of calls. Sometimes he did, but a lot of times there was one that, if I remember correctly, he got lit up in Buffalo that they didn't call a penalty before because he was actually a runner, so they didn't throw a flag. Anyway, and then also I'd like to, I really think that Philly's going to be is going to be the better team against Washington. I just think that overall, from position to position, I believe that Philly's a better team. But boy, the quarterback from Washington, the former team known as the Redskins, man, that kid is he is awesome. So I'm going to kick it to one of these other jabronis around here. So I'm going to kick it to Shaggy because he's been awfully silent for the
Because
last past 15 minutes. So Shag, what do you think about
he's
the
not
NFL
drinking
playoffs?
tonight.
I'm not,
It's too
well,
late
I'm
to
just all
drink.
rest. I'm trying to stay awake.
Yeah, I
Past my bedtime for this shit.
mean, I paid my phone bill while you guys were talking wrestling.
No, but That's me. I'm hoping they're both great games. I would like to see Buffalo win. I mean, now that I've seen the Patriots win, I love that those people, those fans in Buffalo, to actually get one, get one in the wins in the win column so they can get that monkey off their back. Washington, Philly, I agree. I think Philadelphia's gonna be a better team, but once again, like I got a lot of Eagles fans for friends, and I wouldn't mind seeing Washington win. They shut them all up, so.
You need to flush the toilet of those people.
Yeah, get rid of them. You
We're
need new
close to Philly
friends.
out here.
Don't know. I it's like of all the teams left, I hate every fucking team left. I guess I'm going pro Bills. See, I don't know how you can root for the Bills because when I look at the NFC side, I definitely don't want the Eagles to win.
No.
I've always been a Redskin hater too. Not Indian hater, Redskin hater. Commanders.
Thanks for clarifying.
I won't get fired. Don't want to get fired. They're fun to watch, so I'll definitely take them over the Eagles making it all the way. But I don't want either one of them to win the whole thing. And if it comes down to KC actually getting in versus one of the teams from me and Brad's beloved Cowboys division, I don't want neither one of those teams to win. I'm say I'll like throw another one on the Chiefs.
So, speaking of that, so how do you feel about? I'm going to kick this to both you and the brand. So, how do you feel about your new head football coach of the of America's team, the Dallas Cowboys?
How do you hire somebody that nobody else wants? Like, what's the rush? You could have waited until like a day before the draft and hired that fucking guy.
Yeah, literally
If he's not the
wasn't.
head coach of the Cowboys, he's delivering newspapers somewhere in Dallas. The fucking things, this shit's horrible.
Wasn't interviewed by any, wasn't even on the radar of any other pro football team or college team for that matter. Had zero job prospects. I thought he was coming in just as a formality for an interview, like, hey, we interviewed him and him and him and this guy to gauge how we're gonna measure against these other coaches. They have Al Harris, who's been a pretty good coach and loyal to the Cowboys, who should have left last year to follow DQ, but he didn't. He gets passed up. Mike Zimmer, I don't know, did he get let go or did he quit?
I don't know.
Why did we
I
hire
don't
another
know.
d
He sucks
defensive
too.
coordinator? So I'm confused on that. But it was like the Mike McCarthy hire. Mike McCarthy, when he got interviewed and hired 5 years ago, he wasn't on anybody's radar, nor was he like even a thought for any Cowboy fan. Like nobody was thinking, let's hire the guy that challenged Des Bryant's catch in the playoff game all those years ago. Yeah, great pick to bring in, right? And really didn't do anything for us. I think what Mike McCarthy did with the help of Dan Quinn is he just floated a team that Jason Garrett built the best that he could. And now we're about to, you said we don't see the Eagles or the Commanders win. No, fuck both of those teams. I'm gonna be honest. They got the Eagles have Kellen Moore, an ex-Cowboys offensive coordinator, and Washington has Dan Quinn, our ex-defensive coordinator, who also took and gutted like half our defense when he went to Washington. I don't want to see either one of them win. You know, like Kansas City and the Swifties win another one. I don't give a
Oh
shit.
God.
I don't have a dog in this fight.
Here's a take for you, for the two Cowboys fans. What about this is if Schottenheimer's doing a solid for good old Jimmy, I mean for Jerry, sorry.
I wish it was
Yeah,
Jimmy.
me too. But funny story. A certain man that is now coaching in North Kakalaka has a buyout after the first year. Well,
Maybe
well.
I was thinking maybe the Schottenheimer thing was just a play to kind of delay hiring Deion Sanders. That's what I was thinking.
Deion's not gonna go there.
No, but that's who I would like to go there. So
Not gonna happen.
no, but it's so Jerry Jones fired Jimmy Johnson after winning two Super Bowls, and since then we have had a shit show of coaching hires. Maybe the exception of Bill Parcells. I like Bill Parcells. He's old school.
Big tuna.
But it just didn't work out. And since Jimmy Johnson, we've not had a decent coach. Cowboys fans are down bad. People are selling season tickets. They're burning jerseys. They're like boycotting. They're refusing to support it. Cowboys fans are down. We're the new Raiders.
Was
We're not
Sean
that
on the
deep in
OC
that.
anywhere this year?
We're the new Raiders.
I mean, speaking of the Raiders,
Pete
what do you think?
Carroll?
What do you think about the Pete Carroll coaching decision?
Nah, that's weird. He
Yeah,
was in the running for the Cowboys
give Pete
too.
Carroll all day.
Nah, he's too
Oh, so
old. Games
see,
passed him up, man.
you're telling me, Brad, that you wouldn't want to have a coach that has won one Super Bowl, been to another one, and you wouldn't want him to coach the
Mike
Dallas
McCarthy
Cowboys?
won a Super Bowl. I didn't want Mike McCarthy. I wanted someone like I didn't want Dan Quinn as a defensive coordinator either, but he proved himself. I wanted Dan Quinn to be our head coach and build up the staff that he had within, like Al Harris, for example. And we not only did we lose Al Harris, we lost our special teams coach. Like the moves that happened in just the last couple of weeks were astronomically bad for the Cowboys. They're not going to recover from this in one season.
They
Not with
hired
Dak Prescott as a quarterback.
the old Bears coach as the defensive coordinator after he's been dragged through the mud over the last 3 months as like one of the worst coaches going.
Yeah.
Eberflus. I'm like, what the fuck are we doing? You should have made him that
Yeah.
coach. At least get head coaching experience.
Astronomically bad situation. Cowboys fans are down bad. Like this, there's no hope. There's no end in sight. This is bad to worse. Like every season it ends, we're like, what could possibly happen that would be worse than last season? And Jerry Jones does something. So, man.
I'm waiting to see what happens in Detroit next year since every coach left to go take a job somewhere else.
Everybody left.
I'll tell you what, losing Johnson as a offensive
Yep.
coordinator is going to hurt them. That guy was no, I'm not saying he was running the show, but I think Campbell's more of a rah-rah guy, and
Yep.
Johnson was the X's and O's of it. So
Yep.
might all have
There.
Aaron drop
Glenn
off there.
Williams,
Yeah. All those guys. Yeah.
storybook run just came to an end.
Yep.
So we'll see what they do. They have the offensive weapons. We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, but Pete Carroll with the Raiders, such an anti-Raiders guy, it seems like. I can't see him coaching there at all.
No.
I don't know. He was cheating like a bastard when he was at USC.
Yeah.
Well, everybody
I
was.
mean, but that's the but the NIL, Ryan, is basically legalized what everybody was doing back in the day anyway. So I mean,
It's like today's modern day gambling.
Right.
Back
Yeah.
then, when you were gambling with a bookie, you were a degenerate. Now everybody gambles, and it's all good.
I mean, he wasn't cheating there. He just turned the other way when everybody else was, the boosters are paying all the money.
No, the thing that's scumbag about all those old college coaches is that they were all cheating, and as soon as they start getting pinched, they fucking leave to go to the NFL and let the kids get fucked.
Yep.
Yeah, but I mean, but the thing about it is that's that, the kids were the ones that got them caught first and foremost.
That's
So,
true. That
you
is
ain't cheating
true.
if you don't get caught.
Yeah, well, there's that. I mean, that's the thing about it is that all of a sudden social media comes along and everybody's posting stuff,
Right.
So I mean, all of a sudden now people start getting pinched. Well, why? I mean, it's just like back in the day. I mean, back in like my first computer class ever, it was, you do realize that if you put anything that's on the computer that is attached to the internet, it is no longer private anymore.
Did you guys catch the I don't know if it was like a pro day with Ward and Shedeur Sanders. So they were doing like this it was just the two of them, and it was like they were doing like this. I don't know if it was like a practice for like the scouts or something that they were filming, but the whole time they're doing it, the two of them were talking shit to each other the entire time, like for like straight 15 minutes doing
Damn.
it. Yeah, it's fucking pretty good. If you can catch it on YouTube or whatever, they're going back and forth, just going like, oh, your number's number two. That's because you're not a true number one. I'm a generational talent. I'm going number
Damn.
one, not you. Yeah,
I might have to look
it
that
was
up.
good. That's
I
funny.
think the game needs more trash talking like that. I mean,
Absolutely.
it's become way too friendly, and everybody's shaking hands and giving everybody
Well,
hugs and kissing
it's
each
one of
other.
those things that everybody wants it, but then when it happens, people foo-foo it. So it's like a no-win situation. So it's like, oh, you guys need to show some personality and push the game and all this, and then when you say something, it's like, oh yeah, you're putting billboard material for the other team to win, and they want everybody to show their personalities until they do, and then when they do, they shit on them for doing it. So it's a you can't
Oh,
win.
good content though.
Oh, 100%.
Podcast
Like
content.
Content's good, man. Content is good. I mean, some of this stuff is like B-roll crap anyway. Sometimes, like, I want some personality. I want to see some. I want to see some, some scuffles and stuff like that. I want people to be all fired up. You know what I
Yeah,
mean?
like when somebody gives Rogue One a 10.
Greatest Star Wars movie ever made.
You are high, sir.
You're old. You don't appreciate new, genuine, artful products.
Look,
The best
I know
Disney Star Wars
gonna
movie.
get.
It is 10 times better than the original trilogy. It is 10 times better than the prequel trilogy. It's 1,000 times better than the sequel trilogy. Rogue One. Go watch it. Get
Brad,
into the lore,
Ed,
Ed.
it was your pick, and you could have did a payback to Ed and made him watch cartoons.
The thing about it is just that when I suggested Youngblood, it was not about payback. It was actually about like trying to reach out to Brad and like because I knew from our previous conversations at work many moons ago how he felt about Patrick Swayze. So he didn't like the Slapshot movie. So I was like, I got one for you. Okay, that's all I did. That's all I
They
did.
blended in there, hockey and
Listen,
Swayze. There you go.
that's all I did. That's all I did. So,
It was going to come up
guys like to paint
eventually,
me
Ed.
off as the bad guy around here, but I got two words for you. I found the shirt that said "Suck it," okay?
Let's close up the books on Ed's mediocre picks for this week. It's gone a little off the rails. We started with the sports and we ended up back in movies. You hit the rewind button.
It's like the crazy train, baby. Hop on.
Be kind, rewind, Ed.
No.
There's no true north this week.
No, there is
Full
not.
circle. Full
It's all
circle.
been all over the place, baby.
So this week there's no true north. It's a flat podcast, you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, flat earther, baby. Not.
Speaking of that, that's a good
Good
segue
segue.
into the next segment. The professor's not here, but you know how we do it. Before we go into the tinfoil hat, we talk about a great book that you want to buy, written by yours truly, about special to the heart, my dog that lived to be 21 years old. Love in LA. Buy the book on Amazon. Go and get it. Don't be cheap. Buy a book. Ed, 21.
Wish I was 21.
It away, Brad. This is your segment. Save us.
First of all, read this over the snow day break. We got hit with a snow freak snowstorm. Sat down, read this book. I cried like a freaking baby. I'm getting teary-eyed just thinking about Elliot. This is a very happy but sad book at the same time, man. You guys got, if you're a dog lover, like I went and hugged my dog Jax, like as soon as I finished reading this book. I was like, holy shit. If you're an animal lover, a dog lover, this is worth the read. It's a quick read too. It doesn't take that long to read it, to get through it. So today's tinfoil hat. Trump recently pardoned all the January 6th protesters, and America is shitting themselves right now. And the same time that Trump pardoned those guys, well, I guess a few days prior, Biden preemptively pardoned the January 6th committee, investigative committee, the Capitol Police, any police officer or law enforcement or person, period, who testified against the January 6th protesters was preemptively pardoned by Joe Biden. So I'm not here to debate politics or say I'm for Trump, against Trump, for Biden, against Biden. All I'm going to say is the January 6th stuff makes zero sense. It was like wacky America from the day that it went down. Everybody's like, there were violent protesters. They were beating up police. They smashed windows. Wrong. This is why they tried to ban TikTok, Andy. You go, and I tried telling my friend this. I was like, bro, get on TikTok. And he was like, I'm not getting on ticky-talky, talk-talk-talk-talk. I'm like, bro, where are you getting your news from then, right? And he's talking about CNN and MSNBC. I'm like, bro, you're on mainstream media. You got to get down in the freaking weeds, bro, if you want to get the real news. And you're going to find out on TikTok because TikTok is like the Wild West of information. Nothing is regulated. You can find all kinds of conspiracy shit on TikTok. Stuff that doesn't get played on the real news. So We know through TikTok and Tucker Carlson and Joe Rogan and some of these other guys have talked about it that there were like 20 something FBI agents. The FBI already admitted to it, planted in that January 6th protest. Why were they even there other than to stoke the fire and push some buttons and get the crowd
Uh-oh.
riled up? I remember when the J6 shit went down, people were saying it was Antifa. Like people took pictures of Antifa protesters and they were like, here's this guy. I thought you're Antifa. Why are you in January 6th protesting the election? It's because they were FBI agents, the same guys that stoked fires and burned down buildings for the Black Lives Matter shit, just changed their uniform and went and did it for January 6th. There's a video on TikTok. I think me and Ed shared it. This guy's like busting in a window and somebody
On
pulls out
IG.
their phone to film him and they come up to the guy and they're like, hey, buddy. We're not violent protesting. Stop breaking the window. The dude's like, F you, man. Da, 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 da. I'm going to F you up. Dude was an FBI agent. There was one or two moments when they did kick in some doors and they get into the hallway. And again, I saw this video on TikTok. The Capitol Police are walking the hallway. One of the Capitol Police officers takes a magazine from his pistol and he like, you can see it clear as day on the video. He like chucks it in the air. He's the only one in the hallway. And it like bounces off the wall and slides around the floor. While it's on the floor, four or five other cops walk by it. Nobody says anything, or they just, it's like really bad acting. You could see it on this dang surveillance camera. The crowd finally punches in what I can only assume was an FBI agent or one of these actors, gets to the front of the crowd, picks up the magazine, puts it in a gun and points it at the Capitol Police. Now, we're talking about botched wrestling matches. It seemed like it was a botch, like his timing was off. He puts the mag in, points it at the cops, but the Capitol Police were looking elsewhere. So they didn't really see it or they didn't react appropriately. So he puts the gun away. Then he walks around in circles, fiddles around on the floor, does a bunch of weird shit, and then he eventually leaves. But it was like a botched. What they thought was going to be like a thing, like they had planned, but somebody didn't, they weren't on the right script. And then you have the pipe bomb. Have you guys heard about that one?
CM Punk.
Yeah, the CM Punk pipe bomb. But no, there's street footage of, they found some pipe bombs around the J, they tried to tie it to J6, but street footage clearly shows like marked and unmarked police cars. And uniformed and street clothes police like frequenting this area where they found a pipe bomb or two. So it's like, come on, man. Even if you're the most diehard, devout, liberal, Democrat-minded person, pointing at you, Scott, you've got to go look at some of this other footage on TikTok. Where are we lost somebody?
And Ed's been
I made
erased.
him mad because I'm talking about, yeah, he got mad. But the January 6th stuff is so wacky that the news called it violent protest. Nancy Pelosi says she was in fear for her life. AOC and Kamala Harris said it was worse than 9/11. Like, are you kidding me? Worse than 9/11? But then they called the Black Lives Matters protest peaceful protests. And we know those were drastically different protests. It's nothing but a psyop. I didn't buy the BLM shit. I don't buy the January 6th shit. The J6 stuff rubs me the wrong way because people were like family members turned on each other to rat each other out to send to contact the FBI. FBI comes in, grabs people, throws them in jail. They've been in jail for 2, 3 years. No trial, no representation, solitary confinement, not allowed to talk to their family, no due process, like circumvented the entire legal system on trumped up charges. To basically say because you violated federal law, you don't get a trial and they throw them in jail. That's violating America's right to a free and fair legal system. So I don't understand how people can even like be supporting January 6th protesters going to jail in the first place. So it's a total psyop. The more you watch it, the wackier it gets, the more you look into it, the stranger it gets. Nothing about the J6 protest was anything I've ever seen. So, again, not even being political, just looking at the facts of it, Super strange, man. Super strange.
Ed, I know you left to go protest, but what thoughts on this week's tinfoil hat?
Well, no, I was just gonna say thank you, Brad. You just irritated whoever's looking in on my internet. Thanks a lot, Brad. I
Yeah,
appreciate
my FBI agent's fucking pissed right now.
it. How about your parole officer? How's he doing?
My Chinese operative is pretty happy though, because I'm bucking this system right now. So
Especially how you mentioned him on that diatribe too. Shaggy, want to weigh in on this
nope,
January 6th?
not at all. Nope, I don't want to weigh in at
You
all.
don't want the FBI coming.
I
Yeah.
am Switzerland, baby.
Brad, I'm not gonna touch on this week's January 6th because I think it was all just news fodder and just one of
It's a
many
psyop.
things. Yeah, it doesn't make sense in a grand scheme of things. I think it was just a political thing. But what I do find interesting this week is I came across a clip that I sent you from a 1959 Disney film. And it's one of those hard to find Disney movies where they talk about things that are going on now and how they can, they're almost like telling you way ahead of time that these are what ifs. What if we did this? And what if we did that? And I think that it's worth watching it. I forget the title name. We'll forget it until we stop recording and then I'll remember it. But the other thing that I found interesting to follow, the mother of all conspiracies, the one that started it all, is the JFK debriefing.
Can't
And
wait.
the little short things are coming out about it. I saw a video that was slowed down from the famous Zapruder film. And there is a 3 second clip where they let it play and rewind it, let it play. It's one of those theories that it looks like, and because the film is so old now, that somebody in the front seat turns around and shoots. So, things are starting to bubble to the surface. All the people that would be held accountable are now passed on. So it's the statute of limitations are all kind of faded out, but that's the granddaddy of them all. And where they're finally gonna let some stuff out, that's definitely worth talking about going forward. I'm sure we'll hit it eventually. That's one of those things too. You hit it one time, and then podcast down the road, you'll end up finding out more and hitting it again. I think that this segment and the movie segment fit perfectly in what we're trying to do, where it's endless possibilities on, our takes on stuff and the stuff that we like. And that's one thing that I thought's long overdue, that in the coming clean with the actual alien stuff and what's going on with that. Are they, I just think there's a lot more layers to the stories than just saying, yes, they are. Are they from outer space? They probably can't answer that because there's conspiracies to that too. So, I mean, this segment is one of my favorites just to listen to what you're coming up with, because very seldom do you veer off the rails of not letting us know what you're going to do, but I do like coming into it where there is a little bit of element of surprise. And I think the information that you come across with every week is pretty cool. And the takes are always really good. And look at Ed's already been affected by it. They knocked out his Wi-Fi. The
Why
drones,
froze?
they
They're
keep getting
coming
out
for us.
there. Yep. Ed, the men in black, watch out for them.
Well, that's okay. I don't have anything, so they can, whatever.
Yeah, they're gonna come for me. There's a Instagram personality. Her name is Isabella DeLuca or some shit. I can't remember. She's blonde haired, attractive, conservative. She was there for January 6th. All she did was walk around and document it for her Instagram, for content. And the FBI, like a month ago, showed up at her house with papers arresting her. Yeah, and all she did was just show up. Like she didn't break anything. She just was there to document it for content. Anyway, Trump pardoned her, so that was kind of a big deal.
Yeah, we'll see over the course of the next 4 years, it should be a good ride for content for the tinfoil hat and see what comes out
Oh,
of it. And
so much content.
yeah, I
Well, I
just
mean,
there's so many things that are on the back burner too that we've talked about that has kind of fizzled off the main news wire, the Diddy stuff, the Vince McMahon stuff, all those degenerates in that storyline, should be held accountable, and hopefully there's more to add to those stories going forward. So, you guys want to add anything to the tinfoil hat at Phantom? Got anything?
yeah, man, I think a lot of it is like, I think Trump fired up those people to go down, but once they went down there, I think they just used it as fuel to as it to be like he's trying to overthrow the government kind of a thing, where it's they're just more of I'm out, go raise some fucking hell and go down there. But it wasn't like they were trying to freaking overtake the government with no weapons or anything, just just gonna walk down there and just kind of cruise through the hallways like you're in a museum, and they want to say that everybody over there is all violent. But as far as like releasing the JFK stuff and the Martin Luther King and all that, I think it plays into what Trump's trying to do as far as the draining of the swamp. And like first time through, he didn't release the stuff, so now he's in for a second time, can't be reelected. And so if he's trying to say that, the government is really crooked and there's any stuff in there that the government had anything to do with any of those assassinations, he can use that to his benefit, because now he's going to release the stuff that people are going to be like, oh, the CIA was doing this or the FBI was doing this. Then he can turn around and kind of do what he wants to do and be like, see, I told you that they're the ones that are bad. I'm the good guy here. So I think it all politically, it all comes into play of why he would want to release it now when he didn't do it before.
The thing that intrigues me about his second run and how it's gone down is it's almost like he was in there. It's like having the title. He loses the title rather than continuing as, a second term. When he comes back, he's hungrier because he lost. So I think losing benefited him for this run. Because it motivates, that old saying, hate is a hell of a motivator. It works in this example. So
On Rocky Three?
it could be. Could be. Rocky Three? Yeah.
One. Good one. Anyone
We
want to throw that one out?
haven't got there yet. Haven't got there yet.
Super quotable.
Trump's just a psyop himself, though, man. Like, the government manufactures this crisis, and then you have a guy who appeals to the common working man, who gets
Dusty.
elected to the highest echelon of our government, and he's gonna be our savior. Like, that's a psyop, dude. Like, nobody actually thinks Trump is a savior, right? Like, this is insane, man. Like, you can't come and save us from problems that your government already created, man. Like,
Brandon, you see the videos of Elon Musk when like nobody's talking to him, and they just got the camera on him, and he doesn't know the camera's on, and he's like freaking looking
yeah,
around,
the
and all over the place. I'm
like
like,
he's
this
real.
guy's a fucking robot. What's this guy up to?
Looks
This
like a robot. George Bush was tripping balls, though.
oh, so funny.
I
It's
think the
like
whole
they throw the camera on these people and they don't know the camera's on them, and they're doing all kinds of it's like it's like
yeah,
it's not.
George Bush took an edible before he went on that shit, bro.
You're not catching those guys with an old fashioned just happen to be picking your nose when you're on camera. These guys are fucking acting fucking weird as
Yeah.
fuck.
I think the biggest thing that came out of that whole thing, speaking of knowing he was on camera, was Barron Trump. Whatever he said
And
to Joe.
that kid's off too. This have something special about him. He's a little bit strange.
Bro, why is he 7 feet tall?
You know why he's 7 feet tall? Because he's a time traveler. He's from the 1800s when they were big like that.
He's
So,
from a time when giants roamed our earth.
l listen, if you know that story about that book,
Book, yeah.
The book.
dude, come on now. There's a whole tinfoil hat in itself. You should save that one for
Yep.
when the professor's on. Blow his wig off. I'm telling you. Save it for that, but everybody's
Yeah.
trying to do a deep dive into what he said. The closest that anybody came, and I've watched a few things on it, Because when he leaned in, he told Biden it's on. And that's and then when he walked over to Melania, you can read her lips. She says, "Be nice," like that. And that's when he turned and looked at the camera and gave the look. So, you know, if he's a time traveler per se, allegedly, if you read books like the Elliot book, if you're a book reader, what you do is you look at it like, has he been places? Does he know things? Has he been in the future? Has he been in the past? Is this the guy? So what's the name of that book, Brad, for all the 386 people that watched last week? What's the name of that? Wait, it's the Journey of Baron Trump or something like that?
Something like that, dude.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. I've looked into it a bunch, but it's even got his picture like on the front.
Right?
Yeah,
Isn't
and
that
it like
crazy?
matches and matches Baron Trump's like baby pictures of now.
It's
But it's
crazy.
he like time travels, and in the book, his dad is like the king or the
Of New York City,
dictator.
right?
He's the something big in the book, some big political figurehead, and so like people are like, is this real? Like the Trumps and Baron? But then if you go even deeper, and this is we're getting way off the rails now. Donald Trump's father, I think, was part of the guys that raided Nikola Tesla's house, and
Correct.
like half of Tesla's shit disappeared.
He had a
And
steamer trunk that
yeah.
it was part of it. It was in his last will and testament of what he wanted to do with the steamer trunk, and that disappeared. So, yeah, there's so much stuff we could talk about when it comes to that stuff. But
Says Baron Trump's marvelous underground journey.
that's it.
That's what it is.
That's the one. That's the one. You gotta do a deep dive on that 1 week. We'll get Ed to read it and then we'll get a soliloquy. He can do the cliff notes and we'll get him involved in this tinfoil hat.
It says I could read the whole book in the time you guys are talking about wrestling.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
What if Baron Trump's just one of the Nephilim who's just time traveling? That's why he's so tall for no reason.
You never know.
No,
You
none
never
of that kid's
know.
personality said that that tells me that that guy talked any kind of shit to anybody.
Yeah.
Allegedly. These are
I think that Biden's face was more of, hey, buddy, how's it going? And as soon as he walked away, give him a fuck. Get the fuck out of here. That's what
yeah.
that face was. He didn't say shit to him. Beat it.
Nobody wants to get whacked on the side.
I'd
I
like
like
to get whacked off the
speaking of
side.
that. Speaking of that, I thought it was awfully interesting that they had it inside.
Bad weather.
Bad weather, Ed.
Yeah.
I think they didn't want it to rain bullets.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with Ryan on that one. I mean, they tried to whack him twice, you know? I mean,
Allegedly.
real. No, allegedly. But I mean, like, think about this. For all the people that celebrated that they were trying to kill somebody, you know, these are all the people that are allegedly supposed to be the people that are like, oh no, we should be nice to everybody, but you're going to celebrate somebody getting shot? Yeah, that's
Yeah.
not.
Ed, I know you're not on the ticky-talky,
Am
but
not.
as Brad would say in his best kung fu voice, it's unalived. You can't use that term anymore.
Oh,
That's
I'm
been
sorry.
canceled.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, unalived.
I'm alive, sorry.
You don't want to get canceled.
No, I
Well, you
don't.
don't.
You know, I have human resources department, so I was just talking off the cuff. I'm sorry.
Yep.
Unalive. My mistake. Sorry.
Was just
Yeah, he
your
was doing
edible.
his best Jimmy Wang Yang.
Yes, Brad. From the mean streets of Hong Kong.
Kung Fu Fooey, baby.
All right, so let's wrap up this week. No professor, so we'll give a shout out to Amistad. So, over the last 2 weeks, I've been trying to get Chris back on the podcast. Today's his birthday. Want to give Chris a shout out. He's got some great stories. Whenever we get him back on, about let's just call it marital 7 year itch, and I'll leave it at that. So, you know, maybe he hit the wall, maybe he didn't realize what he was doing, maybe allegedly this and allegedly that. So, Chris, happy birthday, and Stay at home. Do a podcast. You won't get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Shaggy, what do you got?
Yeah, this week I do get a shout out. My cousin Karen and her daughters, Dana and Carly. We lost a great guy yesterday. Their dad and husband, Bob. So shout out to those guys. We love you. We're here for you if you need anything.
Ed, what do you got?
Well, I can't follow that. I mean, that's just, I mean, Jesus. I mean, yeah, that's terrible. Anyway, no, thanks. It's good to see you boys. Chris, happy birthday. Just want to give a shout out to everybody here on the Gulf Coast, from all the way from the Panhandle all the way through New Orleans. I hope you enjoy what winter really is. And when you're bitching in the summertime about how hot it is, yeah, well, remember the 8 inches of snow you got.
And they were skating on Bourbon Street. That
Yeah,
was pretty cool. That was pretty cool.
he had actually just been released from the Seawolves, which is for the Mississippi team. And so he was over there. He brought his skates and everything like that to his girlfriend's place over in New Orleans.
Phantom, what do you got?
I guess I'll have to shout out Mr. Brown and Mrs. Brown. Hopefully they're having a good time wherever they're at. Having fun. Happy birthday to Chris and the fellas. Late night. I thought we were going to make it to midnight, but we are over 50, so this is our midnight.
Bradford, you're gonna close out the show this week. What do you got?
Oh man, happy birthday, Chris. Miss you, buddy.
Could you speak in your American voice, please?
I'm trying. Happy birthday, Chris. I'm glad that you at least do respond to funny memes and shit when I send it to you. Hope you have a good one, buddy. Also, I guess my belly aching and whining and crying last week did something, because the government finally sent the Army Corps engineers to West North Carolina to start rebuilding their roads and their bridges. And why it took this long, nobody freak. I know why. I'm not gonna get political. Haven't even. I'm too sober to get political. But they're finally doing something for the people of North Carolina. So thank you, government, finally, for doing what the hell we elected you people to do. It's about damn time.
Well, that's
Yep.
why they took the money
Brad.
away from. That's why they took the money away from Ukraine, because they got to pay for that now.
Brad, you got the pulse on all things Trump, right?
No.
You're my guy. I don't care what anybody says. You're my guy. All right. My job is forcing me to work some OT, and I want to know when that OT is going to be tax-free, motherfucker. Let's go.
Oh man.
When's that shit happening?
I don't know. I
If I
don't
didn't get in,
know.
my kids were going to go to college for free. Didn't get that. I have a feeling when Trump's in, I ain't getting my fucking overtime for fucking tax free. Not
Don't
shame.
know about all that, man. I just pay
Brad, get on the
attention.
bat phone and give him a call.
No, I just pay attention to shit that's wacky and conspiracy theory. And North Carolina was that one that they found a lithium mine, and next thing you know, a storm wipes them out. Insurance companies bail. Nobody wants to help the people out because they're trying to get them to move off the land so the government can buy it up. And a certain president came in and went down for a trip and had all the people put all their insurance companies on blast. He stepped away from the podium and had just regular people come up, and they're like, "My insurance company was blah blah blah. They refused to pay me for my house." He's like, "Next." And then now the Army Corps engineers is rolling in to help them fix that shit, man. So it's whatever he's doing, I don't know. Who cares, man? Again, politics aside, he's helping the people who are about 4 or 5 months overdue for some government assistance, more than $750 from FEMA. So good job on that.
And
Still fuck the government.
yeah, oh, hey. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
We'll wrap up this week's podcast. And I just want to say, hopefully, the professor will be back next week. A little light in the loafers, and it would let the hot tub jets hit him where it should. And Brad wants the number two with egg roll.